WFYI podcast brought to you by Bloomington, Indiana, an American college town offering food and drink, college sports, outdoor activities, live music, cool art, and good times daily. Everyone is welcome in Bloomington. More information at visitbloomington.com.
What we're going to do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. Welcome to my neighborhood, the Avenue. I grew up here, and each week I'll be sharing the sounds and stories of the people that made the Avenue great. Welcome back to The Avenue. On this week's show, we'll share the story of James Whedon, one of the most unique and charismatic performers in the history of Naptown music. James was best known as King Moses, a persona he created during the late 1960s as a member of the psychedelic gospel act King James Version. There's so much more to James Whedon's story, but sadly, he passed away in July of 2020. So on this week's show, we'll be joined by his brother, Henry Inch, who will share his memories of growing up on the Avenue with James Whedon. Henry is also a talented performer, best known for his work with The Sentimentals. Their 1970 single, I Know You Too Well, was released on the Naptown Records label and remains popular with soul music fans across the globe.
Every guy I know is talking about your charm. For a minute of your time, they give up and on, begging and pleading to get in a word. Darling, you'll be surprised at all I've heard. I know you too well. Yes, I do.
WFYI's Kyle Long recently spoke with Henry Inch. Let's join their conversation as Henry recalls his childhood years living in the Lockfield Garden Apartments on Indiana Avenue.
Yeah, Henry, thank you so much for being here today.
I'm glad that you had me back. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while. Your brother, James Whedon, passed away in July, was it July 4th of 2020?
Independence Day.
Yeah.
Right.
And since he passed, we've been talking about doing an interview about his life in music.
Exactly.
Because he had a really unique career.
Yes,
he did.
I mean,
very, people will hear, it was very unique.
He had his own style, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So I'm going to play all the records that he made that I know of. And we're going to talk about your life growing up with James and kind of get a sense of who he was and his work in music through your eyes today.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, so first of all, I don't even know, was he, you're the younger brother, right? Or are you the older?
No, we had, it was four of us kids. It was four guys and one girl. Hmm. And my baby brother, Eugene, was the fifth child.
And I know you sang in church as a child, right? You told me that that was where you proved to your mother that you had talent to sing in church.
Exactly. I sure did, yeah.
Were your siblings, was James and your other siblings, were they singing in church?
Well, Jimmy was in the choir, too. My brother, oldest brother, Paul, he was in the choir, and my brother Jimmy was there, and I was the Oliver Youth Choir. And Mr. Lewis Dinwiddie, he was the manager of the choir, so... Yeah, that's where we got a lot of experience singing in the choir.
What was the age difference between you and your brother, Jimmy?
My brother, Paul, he just turned 80 years old February the 28th. And Like, I'm 74 years old, young, and still look good. You're not going to catch me no wool over my eyes. I'm still looking good. I feel great. I eat healthy, you know. The key is drink as much water as you can. But you might keep going to the bathroom, but it pays off in the run.
And you mentioned your older brother.
My older brother, Paul.
He's also an accomplished musician, right? He was in
The Music Masters.
Al Hobbs and the Music Masters.
Right, right.
That's incredible. That's a lot of talent in one family.
Yeah.
Were you all singing together at home or just in the church? And
You know, singing at home and in church. And my mother, years ago, she was working at Central State Mental Hospital. And they wanted us to come out and sing. And my mother went downtown and bought us shirts alike and pants alike. And we went out there and we did sing, and they really enjoyed us.
And I understand if you don't want to talk about your family business, but am I correct that James and Paul had a different father?
They had the same father.
But from you?
From me.
Yeah. And I did want to ask about that, because to my understanding, their father was the guitar player Paul Whedon.
Senior. That's where my brother got the name.
He was a famous jazz guitarist.
Exactly.
He moved to Norway.
Yes.
And was a huge star in Europe.
Yes, he was.
But he was a contemporary of Wes Montgomery's and played in the same clubs at the same time.
He was a very talented man.
Yeah.
Very talented.
Yeah, tell me, did you interact much with Paul Whedon Sr.? Did you know much about him personally? Or
you know,
must have been difficult for you.
I was just so proud of him, you know, that I was in his company around. He taught us a lot and everything growing up. And he was all around good man, you know, and he loved his music. And it had to be right or he's not going to do it. Learned a lot from him. Very talented man.
Yeah, master guitarist who played with some of the greatest
West Montgomery
in jazz
and
music. In Europe, he played with Coleman Hawkins and all these legendary jazz stars.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Again, the talent you had in your family is extraordinary.
Yes.
Did you guys have a sense of how special and unique you were growing up, or you were just another family in the neighborhood?
You know, I knew we had something special, you know, and always told the Lord when I was coming up, I would have loved to be famous, but I am famous. Local famous, and people know us all over, me and Josephine, the Sentimentals. But I always knew that I was special, and my brothers, they were special too. We knew we had what it could take. We didn't get where we wanted to get, and though we still not giving up, we're still going on strong. So no matter how old you are, if you have a dream, follow that dream. Don't give up.
And Henry, you told me you grew up in the Lackfield Gardens apartments on Indiana Avenue, right?
Yes.
You and all your brothers and sisters were in the apartment?
Yes.
Yeah. What was life like growing up as a family?
Well, I tell you, it was just wonderful. I tell you what, when they got rid of Lackfield back in the day, everything was slowing down. I used to go back there when I worked at IU Hospital. I used to just go back where the apartment that I lived in, apartment 35, 828 Blake, and I would just get up on the third floor and just sit down, and I would just cry. It was something special to be in Lockfield Gardens. I mean, it was so many nice people. And I would just sit down and just get my mind set and go all the way back. But it was so much fun living in Lockfield. We used to, a lot of other people that lived in Lockfield down at the Dust Bowl and everything, they would come down in our entrance. We would bring the record player out, you know, back the 45s, you know. We bring the record player out every summer. And everybody that lived around, our interest came, and we just danced and had such a good time. So I have a lot of good memories, and memories linger on, I tell you, and it's just, I had a wonderful childhood, you know, so I have no complaints. But, I love Lockville. But when they came and just did what they moved it and changed it and all that stuff, I know everything must change and everything, but it seemed like they just took something from us. You know, Indiana Avenue, they just took it from us. So, but life still goes on. But good memories are lasting memories to always remember, to reflect back in the day. So I do have memories that I can go back. And when I would go down Indiana Avenue, I said, that's where the laundromat used to be. That's where this drugstore used to be. It's not here anymore. So, you know, I was very proud to live in Lockville Gardens.
And Henry, your brother James, the first group that I'm aware of that he was part of was the Delvados.
Exactly. Right?
And they started, what, in the late 1950s, would you say?
Yes.
Or, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they were singing at the Walker Theater and in different places along the avenue and around town. What do you remember about your brother's singing group, the Delvados?
Man, that was a dynamic group. I mean, the guys, Vance Dalton and Butch, I can't think of his last name, Irvin Bezel, a great singer. Each and every time they would go to rehearsal, I was just always there and just so amazed the talent that these guys, the voices they had, and when they blend their voices together, it was just superior.
Yeah. They did make a record in 1966, the Delvados. I think it was called Right or Wrong. Recorded for Jimmy Coe's record label, Intro Records, the famous Indianapolis jazz musician, Jimmy Coe. What did you make of that? Did you feel like they'd hit the big time when they made this record?
I really did. Yeah. I got so excited and everything. I said, ooh, my brother's going to make it, you know. And I know he's going to help us. I sure did, yes. It was just, I miss my brother dearly. I do. I have a big picture in my living room. And if I'm having a bad day, I'll just look at the picture because it's just like me and my older brother, just the only one that's still here. And if I'm having a kind of a bad day, I'll just look up there. I said, well, Mama, we still here. You know, we love you. She was the best mom that God could ever given anybody. She was.
What were the, you know, obviously your brother was a dynamic performer, and in the King James Version, he really had a chance to show that off. But what were the Delvados' live performances like? Were they high energy? Did they bring that kind of showmanship, or was it more like what we would see from the Temptations?
That's exactly how they were. A lot of energy and different steps and everything. They would try to teach me some steps. I just couldn't get it. You know, I can't keep on time with everybody. But, yeah, they were an outstanding group. And it kind of put you in the manner of the Temptations because they had some dynamic steps and everything.
When that record came out, Right or Wrong, did it get any airplay? Do you remember if it went anywhere locally? I know it didn't become a national hit, but do you remember if they got any traction off that record anywhere?
No.
No?
No, they didn't, you know. I used to guess if you don't have that, it's always that money. You got to have some money. You got to have some investors and somebody that's going to promote you and not try to take from you. But if you don't have no money and have no promoters, you know, to get out and push you out there, go on tour and stuff, and you sign your records and all that, it just gathers dust up on the shelf. You got to have some money.
Our guest this week is vocalist Henry Hinch. We've been discussing his brother, James Whedon, better known as King Moses. Let's pause and listen to a 1966 single James Whedon recorded with the Delvados. This is the Delvados with Right or Wrong and I Gave My Heart to You, released on Jimmy Coe's Intro Records label.
All right, all us. But if you want it to go on, you got to be big strong. Let them know that you care. You rub your heart and keep it there. Right or wrong? Am I right or wrong? Found somebody new. Still, I gave my heart. I gave my love. I still give my sweetheart. Ooh, hey, hey, hey.
We just heard two tracks from the Devados, a Naptown R&B act featuring the vocals of James Wheaton, better known as King Moses. He passed away in July of 2020. Our guest this week is James Wheaton's brother, Henry Hinch. He recently shared his memories of James with WFYI's Kyle Long. Let's return to their conversation as Henry recalls how the Devados transitioned into the King James Version, a unique psychedelic gospel act that received national attention during the early 1970s.
So King James Version evolves from the Devados. You know, King James Version was originally, as you mentioned, three vocalists.
Exactly.
And all three come from the Devados. Vance Dalton, your brother, James, and Irvin Bazell. Is that how you say his name?
Exactly.
Yeah. And your brother was King Moses. Vance was Solomon. And who was Irvin?
You know, I never know.
He didn't have a name?
I didn't know. He was just Irvin. I didn't.
Yeah.
He deserved
it. He didn't have no biblical name. He was just Bizzle.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He could really sing high. That guy, it was fifth tenor.
Like falsetto or,
He can go up,
Come
drop down low. Whatever you want him to sing, he could sing.
Well, tell me about how this group, King James Version, came into existence. First, though, maybe just describe to me in your own words what this group did, what they looked like, what their whole act was about.
Well, I tell you, they take you to church, I tell you that. It's this rock gospel they had. And I know my brother Moses, he would walk the walls. And they had biblical outfits, robes and the cane and all that stuff to give it that biblical look. And it was just more or less like rock gospel. He would just, he may be on the balcony, he just jumped down and all that. And he put a little bit of James Brown with that rock gospel in there. You know, they were just all about the whole outlook as biblical clothes and in the Bible days.
And they had their hair dyed platinum blonde.
They sure did, yeah.
So they had a striking look, right?
Yeah.
Biblical robes, blonde hair.
Right.
And their music was over the top. Like you said, it was psychedelic rock.
Yes.
It was funk.
Mm-hmm.
It was everything.
Exactly.
And they would sing music based on scripture, based on religious themes, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a strange mix.
Yeah.
But it really worked, and it got them a lot of attention very early on, right?
Right.
Do you remember what year they formed or what year they started talking about this idea?
Oh, my goodness.
Probably would have been around 69, maybe.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Yes, it could have been.
Do you remember the first time your brother told you about this or how the idea came around?
I said, what are you doing? Man, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, oh, it's going to, you watch and see. It's going to be tight. It's going to be tight. But my brother, he was here before his time. He really was. You know, it was so deep in his mind.
Do you remember the first time you saw your brother with the blonde hair? What did you think?
I was shocked.
Yeah.
I said I was shocked. But you know what? It was scary first because I had never seen nobody's hair like that blonde, you know. Yeah. And when he went in the bedroom, came out, I said, oh, my God, what are you doing? He said, this is a new look that we're going to have. And you'll see it's gonna go off big. And it did. Mm. You know, it was something different. People have never seen anything like that. So they had their look and their own style. That's what people loved about it, because it was something different. And if it's something different, people is going to come see you to see what you're all about. Yeah.
What did your mom make of it?
Let me get some water on that. My mother said, boy, what are you doing? Mama?
Do you need some help with that?
I got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, what did your mom think of this?
She said, boy, what are you doing? What is this about? What's wrong with you? My mother was funny. He said, well, Mama, we got this group and we're going to have our hair blonde. She said, are you crazy? He said, no, Mom. He said, you'll see, it's going to really go off. But she was just as shocked as I was, and my brother Paul was too. But after they got together and started rehearsing and stuff and going to different clubs, it took off. And it was people looking for something different. And if you got something different that people have never seen, it's gonna take off.
Did your mom ever go see him play?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did she? What? I mean, I just can't imagine. You know, everything I've heard about their show makes it seem like the wildest thing
was,
on stage.
Oh, he was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was different. It was, you couldn't hardly believe it. Everybody loved him, though. I mean, when he go to the club, the clubs would be packed. And they had that name that just, everybody's, oh, wow, I got to go see Moses, King James Version, I got to go see him, you know. Mm-hmm. He had a big crowd. Wherever he would go, people would be there.
So your mom enjoyed it, you enjoyed it?
She loved it. Yeah, she loved it.
What kind of clubs, do you remember what kind of clubs the King James Version was playing in? I know they played in rock clubs, like the Hungry Eye out on Pendleton Pike.
Right.
They were playing at all kinds of clubs,
and
right?
What was that club on 34th in Illinois?
20 grand.
20,
they played in the 20
they
grand.
They did a lot of things in 20 grand,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of things at the Place to Play.
Mm. On Indiana Avenue.
Blue Eagle. Mm. And Dave's.
On 16th Street.
On 16th
Dave's
Street.
Yeah.
They were just all over,
yeah.
You know, really. Just like Joe and I, we did a lot of things.
So playing for black audiences, playing for white audiences.
Anybody.
Everybody. Yeah.
You know, you're just happy to sing.
Yeah. And I know they were playing with the Ebony Rhythm Band. That was their backing group.
Yes.
And Lester Johnson, the bass player from the group, told me they were playing at the 20 grand, and a promoter from Los Angeles comes into the club, sees the act, King James Version, and takes them all out to California. The King James Version, Ebony Rhythm Band, and, you know, they were on the road to, you know, making something big happen, right?
You're
right. Were out in California performing. What did you think when your brother left for California? Was that exciting for you to see him have this opportunity?
I was excited for him and everything. But see, my brother, I mean, I wanted to really make it. But he didn't have no job and stuff. Back. He's still out on the road trying to really make it big. I'm not getting out on no road and sleeping in bus stations and eating potato chips like that.
It's rough,
I'm going to be here with my mama in this warm house, in my bed. I am not going to sleep in no bus station. I ain't doing it. I want to make it, but I want to make it that bad.
Yeah.
You know? But he did all that. I just couldn't do it. Mm-mm. I wanted to make it, but I didn't want to make it like that way. No.
How long were they out in California? Do you remember?
They were out there maybe about a year. Mm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they continued to play, though, when they came back, right?
Oh, yeah. They continued to.
They continued on for a while.
Uh-huh.
And they eventually made a record. I think it was in 1971, a small label out of Ohio called Soul Kitchen released a single, the King James Version. On one side, they do a song called He's Coming. It's a version of Sam and Dave's Hold On, I'm Coming.
Yes,
they totally
right.
rewrote the lyrics.
Yes.
Then on the other side, it's He's Forever.
Yes.
And it's the theme from the movie Midnight Cowboy.
Right.
And they're screaming and yelling on top of this instrumental track.
Yeah.
The record is very unusual. And
exactly.
Yeah. What did you make of that when they released this record?
I didn't know what to make of it. I just thought it was very unusual, just like you said. But it was really good. It was a good song, both of them.
It's incredible music.
Very good. You know.
Yeah.
And it's just so hard when you hear all these good groups, and we had the most outstanding entertainers. Right here in, we could be another Motown. We could.
So I want to ask you about this record. You know, at the time, it was released by an independent label, just like with the Del Vatos. The record didn't go anywhere. What would it have been, 30, 40 years later? This record is rediscovered by a new generation of fans. I don't know if you know this. This record sells for over $600 now. A very famous DJ and music producer named DJ Shadow was really playing this record a lot in very prominent platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And it created a real interest in the King James Version. And as I said, it drove up the price of the record. It's over $600 now when it sells. Was your brother, were you aware of this? Was your brother aware that there was this interest in that music today?
No.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I didn't even know that.
Stay tuned. Echoes of Indiana Avenue will return after this short break. This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. On this week's show, we're sharing the story of James Whedon, one of the most unique performers in the history of Naptown music. James Whedon was best known as King Moses, a persona that he created during the late 1960s as a member of the psychedelic gospel act King James Version. Let's pause and listen to their 1971 single for Soul Kitchen Records. This is the King James Version with He's Coming and He's Forever.
Now don't you ever
get the faith,
be sad,
get the faith,
lean on Him,
faith,
when the times are bad,
faith,
and the day comes,
faith,
when you're in doubt,
faith,
and a river of trouble,
faith,
and a bar to drown,
faith,
just hold on, He's coming, hold on. He's on his way.
Get faith.
Dear brother.
Get faith.
If you get cold feelings.
Get faith.
He'll be your cover.
Get faith.
Don't have to worry.
Get faith.
Cause he's here.
Get faith.
Don't need to suffer children.
Get faith.
Cause he's here.
He's forever.
Let the land be called earth.
We just heard two tracks from the King James Version, a legendary Naptown psychedelic gospel act that featured the vocals of James Whedon, better known as King Moses. Sadly, James passed away in July of 2020. On this week's show, we're joined by his brother, Henry Hinch. He recently shared his memories of James with WFYI's Kyle Long. Let's return to their conversation as they discuss James Whedon's life after the King James Version.
The demise of King James Version. Eventually, they stopped performing and split apart. Do you remember what how the group kind of fell apart. You know, Lester Johnson, when I spoke with him from Ebony Rhythm Funk Campaign, told me that the group's kind of Achilles heel was that once you'd seen them, you'd kind of seen everything they could do. You know, the show was so dynamic, but it didn't have a lot of durability, in his opinion. Do you think that's true? And did the kind of the novelty of what they were doing wear off, you think, after a period
of time?
I think
it did.
Yeah.
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 You know, it got old.
Yeah, it got old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And people with less interest, you know, didn't care about coming out seeing because they see this and see that, so everything's the same and stuff, so it got old.
Do you remember what your brother did immediately after that, or if this was took a toll on him? Was he depressed to see this group in because they had so much potential to break out?
Yes, he was. Yeah. He was depressed a lot and everything, so, you know, we was right there for him and everything. If he needed us, we was there. So he did a lot of crying and things like that. And we was just there to show our love and our, you know, concern and everything that we got you, you know. Whatever you need from us, we'll do it. You know, but it's going to be okay. You know, because you still can sing. You can sing by yourself.
He continued performing as a solo act after King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned they developed these biblical personas within the group, King Moses, Solomon, and your brother kept that title, Moses, right? Throughout his career, he performed as Moses. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. I remember one time he wanted me to be on one of his shows he was going to do. And so he said, but you know what? I said, you know what? You need to change your name. I said, I'm not changing my name for what? Well, I'm King Moses. I said, yeah, I know. Well, we're going to call you Sir Henry. I said, no, you're not going to do that to me. Uh-uh. No, we ain't having that. No, everybody know me. I'm going to use my name, Henry Hintz. That's it. Ain't no Sir Henry. I'm not over in London. You know? My brother had, I love him, he had some way out memory, not memories, but mind-blowing, you know.
Very imaginative.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. See, my brother, when he was young, kid, my sister and I and my older brother, we always hang out and things like that. He played by himself a lot. He stayed to himself. He was very, very quiet, you know, and he played with little horses and toys and stuff. He never hardly ever played around with us. He was just always off to the side doing his own thing. So.
He had a big imagination.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And the final record that I'm aware that your brother made, and after I ask you about this, if there's something else, let me know. But the final record that I'm aware of is a record he released under the name King Moses in 1981 for a label called Pet Records. He released a song called I've Got This Feeling, a great song. What?
I know.
Let me ask, what you remember about him putting that record out? Do you have any memories of that at all?
You know, that record should have been a hit.
Great song, yeah.
Yeah, the music and everything. Whoever was playing, you know.
Great band.
Just dynamic, I'm sorry. But it should have been a hit. You know, but I guess it's like it always got to go back to the money and all that stuff.
Label. Independently released. Do you remember where this? It was called Pet Records. Do you remember anything about who or put this out? Where it was recorded?
I think it was recorded somewhere in Louisville.
In Louisville. Okay. Yeah.
Louisville. Yeah. You know, I don't know where, but it was in Louisville.
Yeah. Do you have a copy of that record? Do you know of anyone that does?
You know, I had a copy of it, but moving and everything. I don't know where it is. Yeah. I had a copy, though.
Yeah. So I will say it's a very obscure record. It's not terribly well known.
Right.
But again, in Europe, there are a lot of DJs who have played this record, influential DJs, and now it's an extremely valuable record. It sells for around $3,000.
Wow.
$3,000. And it is in high demand. Again, your brother have any idea? You know, it was a hit in a sense in terms of it reached this international audience. It was embraced by this international audience of music fans.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. If anyone in your family has a copy of that record, you know, tell them to be very careful with it.
I might go back and look in the little 45s that I have at home and just check.
Let's pause and listen to a rare 1981 single from James Wheaton, released under the name King Moses. This is King Moses with I've Got This Feeling, and I Forgot to Say I Love You.
You're always the first thing, the very first thing on my mind, girl. But I've been afraid to say just how I feel. You know my love for you is true, and you know it's real, girl. But I can feel, baby, that you know, girl. She was everything I'd have prayed and hoped for, you see. Dig this. But I let her slip away. For these three words I forgot to say.
I forgot to say
I love you. I did it.
I forgot to say
I care for you, girl.
I forgot to say
I need you. But now you're gone.
We just heard a rare 1981 single from the legendary Naptown vocalist James Wheaton, better known as King Moses. On this week's show, we've been joined by his brother, Henry Hinch. Henry shared his memories of James in a recent interview with WFYI's Kyle Long. Let's return to their conversation.
Throughout the 1980s, your brother continued performing as King Moses, right?
Right.
Yeah. Did he record anything else? Did he ever work in gospel music? Or did we hit all the recordings he made?
We hit all of it.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't do anything else.
I know you sang with the Blakey Specials. Your mm-hmm. brother Paul was in the Music Masters. He never sang in a traditional gospel group?
Yeah, no.
Just King James?
Other than the choir, Oliver Youth Choir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was it. But he didn't sing anymore. Then he got sick and everything. And he loved to sing, I tell you. My brother loved to perform. He really did. And he just didn't take care of his health. It got too bad where he couldn't remember the words on some of the songs and everything. And his sugar was just off balance. He wouldn't do the right things. You got that diabetes, you got to do the right thing because it'll just take you out. And so it did, you know. But he just stopped singing, you know.
Yeah. I mean, his contributions to music are extraordinary. They're one of a kind, right? There's never
exactly.
been anything like King James Version.
Exactly.
Probably never will be again.
Right, right.
How would you characterize your brother's legacy that he left behind, his musical legacy?
I would say if he could just touch one person that's listening to him, then he's okay with that. And he would want people to remember him that doesn't make how old you are. If you believe in yourself, then they'll believe in you. And he was one dynamic performer. Everybody know who he is. There's no one like him. There'll never be another Moses.
I can't thank you enough for sharing your memories of your brother's work in music. Like I said, it's just this great, to me, it's this great unwritten chapter in Indianapolis music and really American music, because this group had a national impact, the King James Version.
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, it's so important to capture some of these details about his life, mm-hmm. and it's really touching to hear your memories of growing up with him. So, you know, I think you've done a great public service by sharing this information. So I'm very grateful for you.
I'm very grateful that you, for having me. Yeah. I appreciate it, Cal.
Yeah.
You and Slaughter.
Yeah. Thank you, Herman. Yes.
That was vocalist Henry Hinch sharing his memories of his brother, James Wheaton, better known as King Moses. James Wheaton passed away in July of 2020. He was 74 years old. Let's end this week's show with a rare live recording featuring James Wheaton. Thanks for tuning in for this tribute to James Wheaton, better known as King Moses. And we'd also like to thank his brother, Henry Hinch, for sharing his memories with us. You can meet me here on the Avenue again next week, same time, same place. And you can find the Echoes of Indiana Avenue podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcast. Echoes of Indiana Avenue is written and produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Herman Butch Slaughter.
Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. Do. If you will stop and listen, I will tell you a thing or two.